Body guy, everyone. This is Professor Amin Ra, and this is the Community Education Network show, CEN. And we just want to just welcome each and every one of you that be viewing this Zoomcast. We have very, very strong presentation tonight by a person that's been here a number of times, but he just flew in from Cuba, and he's has some more information, a continuation of his last lecture that was on our Zoomcast. We just called it Black Truth because that was his first writing. And so without further delay, we're going to just turn it over to Jerry Assad Jabal. All right.
How about it, Ghani, everybody?
Okay.
Here's my granddaughter hook up my power. So, go ahead. All right. I think the last time when we sort of ran out of time was we were talking about why so many Black people are attracted to, or if you want to call it an attraction, but are Christians that believe in it, you know? And the gist of what I was saying the last time is that the whole Christian movement, when it was begun back in the, really in about 13 AD of this, the Christian era about the year 13, was after the Augustus Caesar had died and he had a cult following, and people wanted to elevate him to the status of the Messiah without having any idea what the words and terms meant. And then 100 years of them trying to impose this narrative about Messiah, basically the Messiah. And it lasted up until the Constantine came to power 300 years later in 12 AD. Now, in between, you had all this turmoil. The first 300 years of the Christian era was constantly this turmoil between these various groups of Gnostics who were scattered throughout what is now, or what was then really, the Roman Empire, and that included Egypt, ancient Greece, all of North Africa, really, and all of Europe, most of Europe. And most of the world up until that time had begun, believed in Gnosticism, which was a really a science, its centerpiece, respect for the sun and the relationship the sun had with the earth. And this became this was the genesis of the various Gnostic beliefs, and not only in that area, but actually all over the world. As we study other cultures and other migrations out of Africa to various places in the world, including India, China, all of Asia, and what they call Australia today, which used to be the Arunta people, and all of South America. You know, Black people had already peopled all of the islands of the Caribbean, and even into the Americas. But basically, the religion, or the Gnosticism, or the worship of nature, or the respect for nature, was the science of the time, and it was practiced all over the world until the, as I said, Augustus Caesar came along, and then he had a cult following. I make it analogous to this following you see for Donald Trump today, where he has a cult-like following, you know, supporters. He can do no wrong, you know. And the same way with George Jones down in Guyana and Jonestown, you know, that kind of cult figure was Augustus. And people had been paid to worship him as the Messiah without having any idea of what the term Messiah meant. And then once he died, then the cult tried to get some of the Gnostics to convert to their way of thinking. And this is where the whole idea of a historical figure, person, was elevated to to God or the Son of God, however you want to phrase it. And then that stayed during the 300 tumultuous years from AD 12 until AD 312, when Constantine marched down from Austria with an army, conquered Rome, and then in an attempt to bring conformity or uniformity within the Roman Empire, issued Christianity would be the religion of the Roman Empire, and that all other religions were and he had the legions of Roman soldiers who backed his eating. So then the assaults on Gnosticism began thereafter. And actually it continued even up to this day as they tried to establish the idea of this replacing the Messiah Augustus with this invented historical character called Jesus, without understanding that the terms that they used were already in existence. In fact, since we're talking about sun worship, or not sun worship, sun respect, understanding it was the science that the earth is controlled by the sun. So in every vital point between the earth and the sun, that is when the earth is directly over the equator or when it's the furthest from the equator, denoted some kind of scientific change here on the earth. And everything, all science was built mathematically, was built from that that fact. The pyramids themselves were built on the mathematics, which had evolved from this basic principle of the position of the sun in relation to the earth, because that's what life was all about. I hope I was clear on that. So, for example, this past Christmas, I sent out greetings, Natalus Invicti. And maybe you got mine, Ra, I don't know. What that means is was a celebration held on December the 25th, and it meant the birthday of the sun. And so this was a date that was plagiarized by the Christian movement, and who tried to convert the sun, the sun in the sky, to convert it into an historical person, which they call Jesus, even though the date had already been celebrated. So they thought that they could attract the Gnostics to come over to their way of thinking by keeping the dates that had already been celebrated all around the world. And so that's why when you check in with the Catholic time, the major celebrations are all celebrations that were in existence before with the Gnostics, because they celebrate the position of the sun. Easter was the New Year's Day rather was the 25th of March. This was known as the resurrection. That's when the sun it crosses the equator on its way to the north. So it's bringing summer, spring and summer to the northern hemisphere. So it had that idea of having been resurrected from the darkness and the cold of winter. And the summer celebration when it reaches the height of summer, midway between the summer and the autumn, that they had what they called Saturnalia, which was the celebrating of the highest point in the sun's existence in terms of the earth. And so this became a celebration. It was like a week-long celebration of drinking and merriment, et cetera, et cetera. So all of the four cardinal points, that is the what we usually know today as the first day of winter, the first day of spring, summer, and autumn, were all celebrated for umpteen, people could think before that time. Already in celebration, and all of the points in between, that is midway between the first day of spring and the first day of summer, and then midway between the summer and autumn, and then from autumn to it, each one of those four cardinal points of the four seasons, and the midpoint of each was highly celebrated by the Gnostics. And the Christians merely adopted it, plagiarized it, and then converted it without changing the names or nothing. They just said it was an historical person who actually lived. And this was the great debacle, debate between Christianity and Gnosticism. And once Constantine issued his edict, then Gnosticism became an outlaw in the Roman Empire. And they started attacking everything, their writings. They went into northern Egypt. They defaced monuments and buildings. They burned down the whole library in Alexandria, city of Alexandria, northern Egypt, burnt it down in order to cover up, erase Gnosticism from history. And this lasted. In the effort to erase it was so great that they ended up naming the period the Dark Ages, because they had wiped out all knowledge, wiped out the origins of any kind of science. Everything was eliminated. People were assassinated, murdered. It was a genocide that lasted for hundreds of years, and it's still going on as we see today over there. What's going on in Palestine, and what has happened right here where we live in America? You know, this is a place that was established on genocide. It can, in fact, the genocide perpetrated against the native people in the Americas was far, far greater than what we see going on today in Palestine. You know, we have probably 200,000 Palestinians, which they've murdered in a year and a half. But in the Americas, they murdered about somewhere between 45 and 50 million people within less than 100 years. Think about that for a second. You're talking about a half a million people a year, you know, murdered. And I don't know what the figure is if you compute it to what the daily rate was. And then they say, well, it was due to disease and smallpox and yellow fever, all of these excuses. But isn't it interesting that native people didn't have no problems with those diseases until these Europeans came? And all of a sudden, you know, they're wiped off the map, and then they take over. You know, people don't understand that before Lincoln, Lincoln was 16th president. The 15 presidents who preceded him, 10 of them were slave owners. And even after him, Ulysses Grant was a slave owner. And on up until Woodrow Wilson, his family had been slave owners, and on and on. And people don't understand that when they had their constitutional Congress, there was 70 people appointed to it. 15 of them didn't attend because they came from the slave states. And of the 55 that did attend, 20 of them were slave owners. So the reason they made the Second Amendment to dealing with guns was they was afraid of slave rebellions for the way they had treated us. you know. So he said, yeah, we had to have an armed militia, you know. So all of these little things that play into it, most of our the people, most of Africans and African-Americans don't really know the history. They don't know the history of Christianity, what its origins were, who was involved, what the terminology was. The name Yesu was, which is in Latin is Jesus, Jesus, which is in English Jesus. Yesu was an ancient Egyptian name for the sun. And they celebrated his birth on the 25th of December. So the Christians didn't even change that when they imposed it as the religion. The big difference was they made it an historical character, not a mythological, not a metaphorical person. It was a real person according to them. And that's where they had their problems, because all of the religion, the Gnostic religion, celebrated the two halves of the sun's existence, which are viewed as physical from spring to autumn, and then spiritual from autumn till winter, to the onset of spring again. So then in they had both a spiritual birth and then they had a physical birth. And these things couldn't be reconciled in the life of a supposed historical character named Jesus. So all of these things come into play. So how do you educate our people? You know, I mean, it's difficult. I've had so many people throw their hands up in my face and say, brother, I just don't want to hear that. You know, it's like they afraid to lose the comfort, I guess you could say, the complacency that comes with believing in some spook in the sky God. With a son who actually lived and supposedly died to save humanity. And humanity definitely ain't being saved, as we all know. So the question at the end of our last talk was, why are so many Africans, not only African-Americans, but Africans all over the Americas, and in the Caribbean, and in on the continent, along the coast, especially where these Europeans invaders had gone, why so many of them believe in the Christian system, not understanding that by believing or practicing it, you're promoting white supremacy, because that's what it was created to do. Gnostics were not white people. They were us. And the idea of establishing this blue-eyed, blonde-haired Jesus as an iconic, not just iconic, but really a cult figure, or and then claiming it was historical, and then backing that up with swords and knives and whatever else they can kill you with, and doing it legally because that was the law in the Roman Empire, that's where it all came from. Now, all of these African Americans who swear by Christianity, they would not be Christians at all had they not been slaves, had not been physically brought here in another genocide to populate and work and build this country. All of that would not have existed. We would not be so much into the Black. There would be no Black churches, you know, Black Christian. But it came from the imposition of the white dominance under their rules and under their policing and soldiering that controlled and it brought us to this point. And the question now comes up, what do we do to educate our people and lift them up from that and try to get them to return to some form of Gnosticism, keeping in mind that most of the teachers of Gnosticism, when the Europeans invaded Africa, were the first ones that they assassinated and then replaced them with Christian missionaries and then backed the missionary up with soldiers. So, you know, these are the this is the outlay, the lay of the land, so to speak. And this is the truly ghost and the spiritual realm of the world exists because we have melanin, and thereby we're able to activate that pineal gland, whether during trance, during sleep. And some people have a unique ability to access it almost at will, and some of us. And so as a result, we totally believe in the spiritual element or aspect of our existence, but we have no mechanism to apply it to, because Gnosticism was literally erased for the most part by this Roman surge, and then by having to be enslaved and then held in bondage. And even on the continent, people were literally run, the colonizers controlled most of those civilizations all up and down, especially the west coast of Africa, east and west coast, actually. They controlled it. And even after they left, after World War II, in the 60s, even after they left, and these countries were so-called became independent, they still were forced to live under the system which was left to them, the political system, which was European in style. And not only that, the borders which they had to adhere to were all drawn by Europeans back during the Berlin Conference in 1884, where they split up Africa just like you'd cut up a pizza pie or a piece of pie. I mean, they split it up. All look at the boundaries sometimes. Four months long conference held in Berlin, Germany. And this is where the borders that you see in Africa today were applied. We had nothing, no say in it. And the same token, you see them establish the Israel as a so-called holy land given to these so-called Jews who were nothing but Europeans coming from all over, European leftovers of the Gnostic system, and who had converted or been forced to convert into the Judeo-Christian story narrative in order to survive. And so they ended up inventing a whole script and a language called Hebrew, which didn't come about to the 8th or 9th centuries AD, mind you. This is nothing was, there was no such thing as an Old Testament written before those times. They were written after the conference of Nicaea, to plagiarize those stories, plagiarized from Egyptian narrative, metaphor, and then converted into this Old Testament Hebrew creation, Adam and Eve and Noah and all of that BS, and then presented in the Roman Empire, under the control of what became the Roman Catholic Church. And of course, they wouldn't have allowed it had not it been needed to add a genealogy for their invented Jesus. Yeah, that's where that came. So that the question then is, was when we last talked about this, was why so many of our people adhere to Christianity today? Why is it Black Church is very strong in just every aspect of our lives? So,
Brother Jabbar.
Yes, sir.
Can I say a few things and then have you kind of respond to it?
Sure.
Okay, so there's a mentality when it comes to Christianity is to believe. And when you have a mindset of just believing, it means that you're trusting sources other than your own thinking and reasoning. And so Professor Ra has a piece on here and also on the upcoming book that we're going to release as soon as we get finished with the little ins and outs. Said, don't let your oppressor be your teacher.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you look at some Bible tenets, and the Bible tenets puts Black people in a position of subjugation, in a sense, and talks about a curse. And then people that's a believers think that we're supposed to be in these positions. So it becomes a state of mental illness, in my opinion, where these people are actually believe that this is true. And it's just a belief. It's like you said, it's not backed up by any facts. And they will say that it's factual. A belief is factual. I mean, we really are under some serious mind control. And this is what keeps us in this type of subjugation position. And this is my opinion, just observing and learning from yourself, Professor Roth, and other people who make sense to me. So can you kind of speak to that?
Well, I say again, I think it's a kind of fear, because just imagine if you explain the truth to our people and explain the history to our people, show them the origin of even the names, the terms, the holidays, the ceremony, various things, all evolved out of Africa, let alone the people themselves and the languages that they speak, all of that. There is beyond that in what the Europeans never address because they lack melanin, is the engendered power, if you want to call it that, to wait a minute.
Sorry, bye.
Good night.
Have a good flight.
Thank you. It's my granddaughter saying the engendered ability to understand that the spiritual realm exists. Now, if you go to the Bible, Old or New Testament, they never addressed the spiritual realm. Why? Because it was written by white people. They have no idea about that aspect of this religion because it doesn't exist within Christianity. They only use a word, but they don't explain it. They don't break down anything because they don't have the ability to use that black dot, as Richard King had pointed out, that doorway into the spiritual realm to know that it exists. And they don't, for the same reason, they don't trace the origin of the terminologies that they use back to their African origin. Because if they did that, then they would have to define them, give the definitions. And once you know the definitions, then the whole narrative after that changes. It has to. So our people are held ignorant. I mean, where do we go for that information? You know, a few of us do the research, but many people never even, Massey did, was great, but how many Black people even heard of Massey, let alone read his stuff, let alone comprehended it after they read it? You understand? So almost no one. So we're faced with ignorance, widespread ignorance in terms of the Black Christians who think that this is some kind of connection or outlet with their engendered spirituality, their nature to be able to know that the spiritual realm exists. What do we offer them to replace that with? We don't have anything, because it was all destroyed. Gnosticism was erased, literally erased almost. at least in terms of the Western part of Africa, where most of us were kidnapped from, and in the all the Americas, which they still control and occupy up to this moment. And we've had to live under their systems, you know. So the you know, down in Cuba, they have the Orishas, and they have all of these all over the place ceremonies where people practice, I guess you what you call voodoo or something. All of these rites where they're trying to appease the spiritual realm, the spiritual ancestors. They're doing it without any understanding or any direction. You know, that's why I say when the Europeans, the colonizers invaded all over Africa, the first people that they eliminated were the spiritual leaders, the shaman, the in the villages who taught and conducted it. They were eliminated. And then what did they replace them with? With the missionaries. And then people were leaderless, literally leaderless. And amongst those that they kidnapped, which is us, and brought to the Americas, they wouldn't keep their native names. Everything was was erased, and forcibly erased, and violently erased, you know, so that we are faced now with this great need that we know about, we scholars, but we have to find a way to give it to our people. And that is the big problem that we face. So, you know, that's my view of it so far, you know, having grown up in the Christian church and tried to believe that some of that was true. And then finally, after joining Black Studies, I might add, in fact, Vernell da Silva was the guy that introduced me into Black Studies back when Ra was, man, a savior. He brought me to my senses and started me into the research is now 45 years. Yeah, more than that, started me into looking into it and to detail. And at the time, I was retired from the military, and I was still working at the time for Compton Schools. But then a few years later, I retired from that. So I was set to the point where I could apply my time to finding out what had happened to us and doing all of this research. So. Did I answer your question, Rashiki?
Jamal?
Yes, sir.
You know, the question is, why do our people believe in Christianity?
Yeah, well, that's what I mean. I hope you will.
But there's about three points I'd like to point out, three or four. Mm-hmm. One is... it's not taught not to believe. Yeah, you know, the many of the teachers, many of the people, their parents, teach them that there is a such thing as Christianity from the standpoint of spirituality and that there's life after death. And when you can't provide an alternative explanation that people, and then there's rules within the context of believing, and once you are baptized and become a member of a church, it's like a secret society.
Yeah.
It's a cult. All religions are cults. And the cult is Jesus, a cult is the Christians, and the Muslims, and Jew, and everyone who believes in a spiritual God that's going to come back and save them or intervene in their day-to-day lives. Then you have Black heroes and heroines like Martin Luther King, like Sojourner Truth, you know, Minister Farrakhan and Malcolm, who were ministers.
Yeah.
And so, you know, that add to it. then the concept that when you can control a person's beliefs, you can get them to do anything. Mm-hmm. Pimps control men and women's bodies.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And they go out and sell their bodies and bring the money back to them.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, belief systems are powerful. And if you can get people to believe in you or believe in what you say, it becomes a reality.
Mm-hmm.
That will become a reality. There's pimp talk, there's Christian talk, there's Muslim talk, there's Judaism talk, there's, you know, even though they have atheistic societies and organizations to bring out many of the points you bring out, because there's over a billion Christians in the world, it's not just here. I mean, in Africa, in islands, in the Caribbean, I mean, it's deep.
Yeah.
The spread of it, you know, the evangelism of it, taking it to other countries, even if you impose it or just become part of the economic system that's like America. Mm-hmm. They separate church from state, but they benefit from the church promoting white nationalism. You know, Jesus was white.
Yeah. And most people don't see that.
You know, I've talked to Christians. I tell people, leave them alone. They'll kill you. You know, I mean, they're supposed to be nonviolent, peaceful, loving, and Jesus. But yeah, they will kill you if you mess with their Jesus.
Yeah.
And most of the Christians in America, Black Christians, are women. And sometimes they go to church for different reasons. But, and then you got the aesthetics, the music, the performance by the minister. And these are skilled, articulated orators, man. I mean, they can talk you out of giving your money to them, your car, your house. I mean, they are good. So it's very difficult to even with all the facts and the research you bring up or anybody bring up, it's just that they hold the minister as a representative of God to them and represent them to God.
Yeah. Well, I don't, I mean, it's a problem, obviously, but what we are, charged with here, those of us who are scholars who do the work, is to just lay it out, publish it, tell as many people, you know, you tell one and then he'll tell five and then five will tell 20 and on and on. And it's a long process because there, you know, 45, 50 million of us here in America, in the US alone, let alone the total Americas, and not to mention Africa. But I see that this is not something that can be done immediately. It's going to take a while if the earth lasts that long, if they don't blow each other up before. But as the African nations regain their independence, because very few of them are independent today. You know, they labor under neo-colonialism, which still controls their economy, the laws, the systems that were left by the Europeans are still used. Most of the leaders in Africa are corrupt.
No, it's okay.
And being,
you can tap it again and make sure you're on mute.
There's so many corrupt leaders in Africa today who support the European and American idea of sending all their raw materials to those places without developing, self-developing. And then you have the boundaries which were left by the Europeans, whereby they don't take into account the families, the various tribal differences. They just drew boundaries, as I said, in the Berlin Conference, and that becomes a contentious point, and it often leads to warfare today in Africa and revolts in Africa. So slowly, as Africa, with the help of China and India and the BRICS, basically, as they try to teach the subjugated African nations how they've been subjugated and how they're being used to support Europe and the Americas, these people will start evicting not only the Europeans themselves and their bases and soldiers, but their system, their political systems, which are left in place. I think it's Kenya, one of those places, they still wear those damn wigs that they do in Britain, because Britain was their colonizers, you know, and their, was it parliament or their judge system? I'm not sure. They still wear, I mean, that's how brainwashed they were by 300-400 years of colonization. So all of that was left in place. It's still very strong. Like I say, almost all of the so-called ECOWAS, which is gone, most of the Western African countries, which we all came from, are unified in support of the European Americans, who are the enslavers and the colonizers, and indeed the Christians, in support of those. And then first, I think it's required that they recover their independence, true independence, and then reestablish an African nation individually, that will start uniting with other African nations based not on the Western model, which was imposed on them and which still controls their economies. And then once you get into all that, you know, you can start teaching the true history, the true science, because it's undeniable, because it was a worship of nature. Well, the European, this is something they want to deny. All they worship artificial intelligence, you know, building machines and weapons of destruction. That's what they're into. We've got to get back to the human aspect and element, and that is only possible once these African nations start regaining a true form of cultural and independence, and start reapplying Africanism and not Europeanism to their systems that they live under today, which is subjugated under today. So we see that a little bit beginning now in Uganda, rejecting of Western ideals, and certainly in the Mali and Chad and Burkina Faso and Senegal and all across the Sahara. And hopefully this movement will grow unless the West invades, which is highly possible, and invades physically, you know, militarily, and tries to regime change, overthrow the governments, which America is great for that, especially with its CIA. They've overthrown like 60, 64 countries just in the last 60 years or so, so these are the things that we have to stop. So we are charged with laying the foundation, doing the research. You know, you could, Massey in his book, Ancient Egypt, has a section where he talks about he compares the Jesus narrative in the New Testament with what was already had been written thousands of years prior for Horus, who was the sun god, or the child's. And he makes a comparison, and he goes for page and a half, maybe two pages. He says, yeah, Jesus walked on water, Horus walked on water, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And you can see how the whole thing was taken from ancient African Gnosticism, and then just plagiarized and made historical by the people in Rome. And even after Christians know that, and they still cling to it because we don't offer them anything else to replace it with. You can give them the knowledge, but we have to have ways of disseminating it widely amongst our people. And that's a true handicap here in America because we live under a white control system.
It's not just practicing religion. One of the reasons Christianity spread, it was the service aspect of it. They took in the strangers, they fed them, they helped them people build homes. Prior to welfare systems and governmental systems, the places where you went to get help was churches. Not Africans until way later, but they began to emulate the white church. Because just as Black people are deeply into Christianity, white people are different, into their version of Christianity, which is segregation. Even Jimmy Carter, daddy was an arch-racist, and he went to a church that had a doctrine, Jimmy Carter did, that no Blacks could join his church. And Cleo King exposed it. Andrew Young, Coretta Scott King, and Jesse Jackson, them defended Jimmy Carter. Mm. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And let those contradictions go. I mean, you have people all day say, you say you're a Christian. Biden, who people be saying Democrats and Republicans, presided over one of the major genocides of this century.
Yeah.
You understand? And Black people still, be Democrats.
Yeah.
Talking about Democrats are better than Republicans.
Go
ahead. I'll just point out how, the service part.
How people, poor even people, even, needy even, people.
When Africans would run away from slavery, it was white churches and Black churches that helped them.
Yeah, but the problem was the slavery in the first place, you see? And by the same token, in West Africa, after they killed off religious leaders, the Gnostic leaders in the villages, then they would start send the soldiers in to protect the trading posts, which they had been allowed to establish. And then when the soldiers started attacking the people, or they set the neighboring village against this village, so that the people, when they were attacked by the neighboring village, the only refuge that they could find, am I saying that right, was with the missionaries who had replaced their own leaders, you see? So the missionaries said, well, I'll protect you as long as you join the Christian movement, within the village. We'll protect you. This is how many people became in West Africa, became a part of the Christian movement, because first of all, their leaders were eliminated. Then the Europeans had brought soldiers in, which attacked the neighboring villages and caused warfare between the various neighbors, and then took slaves from the one village, attacking another village from the prisoners. And then when the people ran in fear for their lives, offered them refuge as long as they became Christian. They had created the problem and then opened their arms to say, we can save you, Yet they don't mention the fact that they had created the problem in the first place, you see? Mm-hmm. And this is very much the same here, where you're like you say, you have the church helped these people running away from slavery. Well, hell, who made slavery? The same church. You know, as I said, 10 of the first 15 presidents were slave owners. That includes Washington, Jefferson. I don't even want to get into all them stupid names. But I'm telling you, this is their history. And the history is of genocide. Or Washington was a landowner, so was Jefferson. Whose land? Where did they get the land? They didn't pay for it. They took the land. It was genocide at a scale on in Gaza, in Palestine. And we don't know these facts. They didn't teach these things in the history books. In history courses in the schools? The hell no. They didn't even teach. When I went to Long Beach State, one of my first history courses that I did was the origin of Christianity, a directed studies program. And soon as the dude read my paper, he said, I can't have you as a student. He's a full professor. You know, maybe you knew him, Hood. Rob, maybe you know it, but you know, this is the how they operate. You know, they got a library filled, man, volume after volume, thousands of volumes, and yet not one of those volumes will explain that all the words in all of those books originated in Africa. And then they will print all of these dictionaries, man. The dictionary I have, I tell you, weighs 11 pounds and 4,000 pages. Not one word originated in Africa. That's impossible. Any anthropologist will tell you that the whole world came up out of Africa sometime in the distant past, you know? So all of these things are not eliminated, but covered up. And then when you try to explain to people how this has all been covered up and how without them, if we could do without all of these things and get back to who we are as a natural spiritual people, then we would thrive. But people don't want to let go of their Jesus.
I understand.
Yeah, so it's a problem. So none of us have the wherewithal to get people in large numbers to make that conversion. But I look at it from a more of a practical standpoint, where it's something that's going to take a long time, and that one of the things we have to start thinking, even though it seems ludicrous now, is to go back to Africa. That's where we belong. Mm-hmm. And really, we need to start setting up organizations that will help us to make that transition back to the continent and start developing our own African systems which deal with nature. Man, under these Europeans, they're destroying the world. Not only are they committing genocide against people, but they've killed off the animals and plants. And you constantly hear about this species endangered, but you never hear about a new species, because there is no new ones, with these devils just destroying everything in the name. And they don't look to save the world, they except by making a robot who will replace them. I mean, that's their mentality. That's what they're thinking, you know? Mm-hmm. You know? Then you don't have to worry about people starving to death or whatever, or dying, you know? And they're definitely, listen to me using that, no pun intended, afraid of death, because they don't know anything about the spiritual realm. And because they know that they've been so evil in their and their whole history have been so evil, that if redemption is based on finding a way to cleanse your soul, they have no chance. So they feared death. So this is their heaven, you know? So they got to have this, they got to have that. Look at this man with $400 billion. Are you kidding me? I mean, that's stupid. Well, who would want that? For what? What good is it? Really, when you think about it, what good is it? You know, you got all these piles and stacks of money. For what? What good is it? You understand? You only live once and you're going to die soon. And yet people are starving to death, people living in the street. Most of us don't. You know, we'll help each other. You know, we'll greet each other. We different people. We are natural and original. And these people are deformed. They lack melanin, and that is a huge deformity. It's something they never, never talk about. Why not? Because they know it's a deformity. And they know that the only thing that gives them their position in the world is to dominate forcibly, to say, boom, 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 just kill, kill indiscriminate, to show that they are more powerful.
Okay, Jawad, we're going to go around.
All natural and never stops. You're going to live and die. And then you're going to live in the spiritual realm, and then you'll die there, and you transform, and it's a circle, an endless circle, that we live on a circle. We live in a circle. It never ends.
And okay, we're going to let other people ask you questions.
Okay, I'm sorry. I can go on and on.
Mashinda, you have any questions? Mashinda? Okay, if he's not there, Joe?
I don't think so.
Hembrick?
Ball server?
Yeah, it looked like somebody was trying to.
I don't know, should be 14 or
what? Somebody on the iPhone. We got two iPhone people, and somebody was talking on one of them.
Go ahead, Joe.
There's Mashinda. Go ahead, Mashinda.
No, Mashinda's still on mute. Go ahead, Joe.
Appreciating your presentation, brother. That question I was posed earlier about how do we get our people to see it. I often talk to people about Christianity and their beliefs in it and whatnot. And I talk to people who are alleged scholars who have so-called degrees in various so-called academic institutions. I said, when you read books, you know, and you looking for proof, there's usually footnotes or bibliographies to prove the points that the professors are making. And I asked them, I said, show me one that's in the Bible. You know, there's not a footnote or nothing anywhere. So how do you take it as fact? Or just some words that have been passed down since they installed the religion. Secondly, I just want to make a comment about the sun and nature. I sit out in it every day, and I let that sun hit on that gland in an attempt to evolve my chakra in and outside of my body that helps me to communicate with the ancestors. They will let you know if you get out in it. But a lot of our people are scared in the sun. They don't want to get no darker. Oh, I don't want to be in that sun. I don't want to get no blacker. I tell them that's where you need to go. Sit out there as much as you can. And then have a commune with nature. Nature will show you what's going on if you just get out there and look at it in and observe it.
What?
And my last point, you were talking about the pimping and whatnot, and I think these organized religions ain't nothing but some pimps. It's all about money. They get your money, they get your time.
S-H-O-E-S.
Who that is in the back. But anyway, it's all game. And if they knew anything about the Bible, and talking about giving all that money, what did Jesus do? He was throwing the money changers out the temple. I said, so you know, you've been in this for 30, 40 years, you never even read the book, but you bet your life that is true. But anyway, it's a hard nut to crack. I hear what you're saying, and I'm just gonna keep on doing what I'm doing and try to enlighten someone who has an ear to hear and leave it alone. All right, yeah. Appreciate you.
Okay, Angela? Angela? You have any comment? Yeah, how you doing?
I love you.
You too, Angela. It's good to see you.
You too, Jerry. I love you.
Yeah, she went to Cal State.
That's what I want. That's what I want you to know. And I'm very pleased. It does my heart and spirit well to see you both and to hear you continue to teach.
All right, Andrew. We appreciate you too.
That's what we all got to do. Each one.
There's my brother, Jerry. I just love you, Jerry. It's great to see you. And I have a sister here, Lori, with me. She's staying with me.
Oh, my goodness.
I told her to come stay with me for a while. She stayed with me. So she waved hi, but she went to eat over here. So we love you, Jerry.
All right, Andrew. It's good to see you again. It's been so long. And man, Lori and Lorraine. Lorraine?
Yeah, Lori's with me. Lori and Lorraine.
Yeah.
The youngest one.
Boy.
Dr. Rock. Jerry is a longtime friend of the family. My mother just turned 97, Jerry. She just turned 97.
Wow. That's great. Good for her.
All right. Yeah. Good
for her. All right. I'm glad to see you. You sound very good. Glad to see you.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Good to see you too, Angie.
Rasha P, you have any question? More question?
Oh, no. I made the comment that I made, and I wanted Jerry to respond. He did. Appreciate it, Jerry.
All right. Well, Javal, go ahead and make your final comment.
Well, we have Rob. We have Brother Barry here on the phone.
Is that Barry?
Yeah.
Hey, Barry.
Barry? Here he is. Can
Brother
you guys
BT.
Hear
him?
Yo.
Hey, yo. Brother BT, how are you?
Man, I'm good, dude. Just had to make sure I tuned in, man, and always get that educational booster shot from you. I always appreciate it, man, and keep brother strong and keep on keeping on. I really, really appreciate you, man.
Thank you so much. Yeah, makes it, I have nothing better to do with my life than seek out truth and just tell it, you know. Just say it like it is, you know. And sometimes I might offend certain Christians. Well, you know, it's not intended to offend. It's intended to educate. And as I say, look, you know, the worst thing you could die with is ignorance. You got a mind. Some people use it, and some people let other people use it for them, you know. And it's sooner or later, when the time comes to make that transition, it's just you and your mind. You know, a mentor, what the Egyptians called the afterlife, is your mind. They're the same exact word. It means everything that you experience during life, physical life, is in your mind. In your mind, the brain dies, buried in the ground, but the mind goes on. The thing you did, your personality has to find and make its own redemption in a mentor, which is your own mind, in order to reach that point of equilibrium, that balance, the Maat, so-called Maat that the European Egyptologists named it. And all they're talking about was the M, the Om of the Hindu and the Buddhist. You know, they all understood, even with the loss of Egypt as the great center of knowledge, they understood that the Om, the balance, was necessary in order to make a transition. So that's why when you say immortality, it's IMM, you know? That's what that means when there's a passage, I think, 3:14, if I remember correctly. It says, God says to Moses, I believe Moses, says, I am that I am, M and M. And this was the key to understanding what immortality meant. These things had been copied in less than 2,000 years ago by the Hebrews and by the Christians without understanding what the origins were of those terms. You know, they just reprinted it from the ancient Egyptian writings, you know, without knowing, without believing. Well, they thought once they erase all of the scrolls written in Egypt and then they eliminate all of the people who believe in it, you know, then it's gone. But what happened is they started going to Egypt looking for treasure and digging up all of the corpses and mummies. And then they started interpreting it and looking for biblical evidence that their biblical narrative was true. And what they uncovered was the whole thing was fake. It was phony. It was based on some cartoonist character, you know, that they created way back during before even Constantine. But it had no validity whatever. And this is what they discovered in the 18th century. And then they just went mute, you know? Mm-hmm. And then fortunately we had a few people like Massey and a few other scholars who, they just wanted the truth. And they were not afraid of the forces that were trying to suppress the truth. And they came out. Massey's books are he was addressing other scholars. So then he assumed that his readers would be other scholars and not the common everyday people. So they would have knowledge of the various references that he makes as he explains things. And most of the common people, even up to this day, have no idea what's he mean by this or that, you know? And then you have to do further research. And it takes you years. It's taken me years, but I love it.
How do you respond to people who say Jesus was black?
Let me see. I guess that would be like saying that Mickey Mouse was black or, you know. And like I say, I don't mean to offend anybody by that. But the whole thing is a myth. It was invented, simply invented.
Oh, my God.
Constantine, the who became Emperor of Rome in 312 AD, he was not a religious person. He wanted control of the empire. He said, look, we got all of these Gnostic sects, some like 400 different sects. And you got these Christians, these Trump-like Christians running around declaring white supremacy and in so many words and all of this. And we need to have control. So the way to have control is just pick one. So I picked this one. And he picked the Jesus narrative. And he said, any other religion is outlawed, is against the law. He set his legions of Roman soldiers to enforce that. And they stayed enforcing it all the way up until the 17th, 18th century. Mm. Think about that. They destroyed Gnosticism. The only thing, as I mentioned earlier, that gave light to it was them digging up all the mummies and then finding the scrolls and then deciding, well, yeah, we can prove the Bible is true. Let's go translate these scrolls. And as they translated, they start revealing the truth. The fact that the whole Christian idea was like writing a script for a Hollywood cartoon. And that that this was being forcibly imposed on people. This is what they learned. Yeah. And then, meanwhile, they were in the midst of enslaving, of genocide in the whole Americas. You know, not only in Africa, and look at Asia too, and China. Man, they were splitting up, breaking up China. It was 9 different countries invaded China. Try and force the Chinese to import opium from Afghanistan. Force them to. And then China had that huge problem with opium addiction in China. And who was doing it? The British. And man, just when you read the history of Europe and just break it down, it's one of constant genocide. They fought each other at first until Columbus came out. And then after that, it was anybody who wasn't our color, anybody who didn't believe in Jesus. And that's who they assaulted. And they say, well, the Bible says it's all right. The Bible authorized. Can you imagine that? This is the narrative that they were pushing. Who was there to challenge them? People were not organized against this invasion by these deformed people. They were not organized. They had never seen or heard of such a thing. People didn't have armies. They didn't even have police. They just literally walked into all of these countries and took them over. And they were fighting each other all of these years, the French fighting the Spanish and the British and the Germans, fighting each other who controls the territory, which is what initiated the Berlin Conference in 1884, where they said, look, let's just stop this. This is yours, this is mine. They drew lines and they divided all of Africa, split it up amongst themselves. You imagine a little place of England had the 200 times, more than that, 2,000 times, I think, the size of its own land it colonized. Eh? Tiny England against India. My goodness. How many people in India, in China, all of Africa, South Africa, Kenya, Uganda, Tanzania, Ghana, Nigeria, Guinea, all were British colonies. And I didn't name them all. And then you come to the Americas, you got the all of the North America. And then South America was all Spain's and Portugal's. And, we're still recovering from this. And like I say, it's not an instantaneous recovery, but hey, since 1970, when was the Black Studies established? In 1970, Ron?
68. The first program was San Francisco State.
In those first years.
But it wasn't a department.
Right.
The first thing Nathan Harrison had was a program.
He was first head of Black Studies.
Yeah, Cal State Longview.
Little did they know.
Yeah,
they had true. they named you because they knew you could play ball.
Yeah.
But they did not know that they had a wizard. They had named a wizard. And who was it? Yolanda Reed, I think.
Yeah. Yolanda
brought
Reed.
To your senses. And look at what has happened since.
We institutionalized it. Like some people say, we turned Long Beach State into a HBCU and a minority department, because the Latinos, they got their department, Asian Americans got their department, and they were all modeled after the one we started. They had no idea. They went and got them and gave them their department. They didn't have to demonstrate and fight.
It really hasn't been that long. And when you consider where we was in the 60s, with all the Vietnam protests and whatnot and things that were going on, and where we've come to in terms of knowledge, you know, we don't see us out in the streets like before, but now we have the intellect in Africa. The world to Europe. I always make the point that when the Britain came to India around 1700, India was the richest country in the world. And by 1900, England was the richest country, and England was the poorest, or India was the poorest. Because what? They forced India to send all their raw materials instead of making finished clothing and various things and exporting them. They forced them to send them to England. So what did England do? They built all of these textile mills and factories, and that's what started their industrial revolution. Then it spread across Europe. Everybody sucking the wealth of all of the people of color. Much, but this is the histories that we never. This is what we've discovered in the last 50 years, and that's a short time considering how far we've come. And you know, we're a few today, but like I say, we're teaching many. You're on mute, Ra. I think, Ra, can you hear me? I think you're on mute.
On mute, Ron.
Everybody's on mute.
I'll call you back.
Hey, Ron, there's a few people on here on the iPhones that didn't get a chance to ask a question or make a comment. We have two people. You hear me, Ron?
Yeah.
So there's two ladies right there.
Okay. They got to come off mute. One guy come off mute, the other one introduce themselves and let's go. You're on mute. She's talking, but we can't hear her.
I guess the other young lady doesn't want to.
Greetings.
Oh, okay. There she is. Yes.
Greetings in the name of everything good, brothers. Wow. This is like a beautiful flashback to college years with my beloved Professor Amun-Ra.
You must, you can.
I am Jinjay.
Whoa. Aye, my sister Rastafari.
That's right, beloved. And yes, I think Brother Jabal hit it on the nose. It's time to go home. We're going to have to just be the great recolonizers and go forward to Africa, because this place is not nice. I don't see it. I don't see how we're going to make it. It's getting worse. I mean, the food is killing us. The air is killing us. The energy is just constant feeling a struggle. And so we continue to fight the good fight, but it's more than a lifetime that's going to take to correct this madness here, because the foundation was never good. And it's based in their so-called Christianity. From the day I walked into Amun-Ra's class in September of 1976, and I hear him say, how can it, the slave
pray to the same God that the masters are praying to. Who God listening to? From that, I haven't been right. I can't.
And Jay, how your family?
Well, beloved, everybody's good. You know, it's been 3 years now since my husband passed.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear.
Yeah, I was blessed to have a phenomenal brother, 38 years. Uh-huh. Yeah, very nice.
Okay.
And my sons and my children, my grandchildren, you know, as it goes.
Jen Jay, we're going to have a session on the Black movement. The Latino Black music movement at Cal State Long Beach starting next week. Earl Parker will be there. And,
wow.
Rose, Sidney Lee, and all the brothers that were there when you were there. So make sure you stay tuned for us. And if you leave your information on the chat, we'll send you the information.
Okay. I definitely gonna, you know, us sometimes a little technologically challenged. So I'll try and figure out how to leave that information. But Mashariki is the one that sent me the information tonight, and there she is right there.
I think you can hear me now, right?
Yeah. I believe our children are our future, Mashariki.
Yeah, I was really happy to find out that Jerry was going to be speaking, and Barry gave me the information. But let me just say this. One of the most incredible things that Raw you did for all of us was taught us how to think critically out of the box. And for all of those that didn't have the opportunity to pass through, some of them got into a lot of different problems because they didn't have that foundation, that grounding that was needed. Now we got schools all over the country saying they don't want people to have critical thought. They don't want them to be able to think out of the box. They don't want them to be free thinking. They want them to be robots. So God bless you. I hope that you and anyone that has taught like you continues on. I know your son is a great teacher. I know that he's following in your footsteps, and I hope that more people teach to make sure that our children can think. Very important, and not be afraid.
Well, listen, you, Angie, and Jen Jay.
Yeah.
Y'all were major parts of the movement, you know,
absolutely.
And so y'all have a lot to contribute. We couldn't do what we did, me, Jabal, Sensalo, and the rest of the faculty and the student organization without the support of the people. See, and you know, the people, that's why we got away with so much, because we were so strong and unified. The sororities, the fraternities, all of them were part of the movement.
Mm-hmm. It was like what you said, a Black school inside of a white university. We had our own HBCUs.
You're right.
Just how everybody came on this evening, that's how you come on next week. It's the same process. You go to the website and you go to the day and the guest, and you're right there, just like you came on this evening. The same thing.
We're going to try to have Freddie Jett on. He's traveling all over the place. And we're going to have a reunion, and share our experiences in the Black movement at Cal State Long Beach.
A rebirth.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Look, Jabal, we're going to bring you back again. Jen Jay, where are you living now?
I'm in Claremont.
Okay. What about you, Angie?
Fullerton.
Oh, yeah. That's what Barry told me. And I know where you at, Mashariki. How's your brother? He's still in Moreno Valley?
Yeah, he's still in Moreno Valley, but he is retired.
Listen, we're going to really rock it next week.
Okay.
We need y'all to come back because y'all have your own individual experiences as far as your growth.
Life-changing.
Yeah.
Life-changing experience. And
that's true.
And, you know, they've changed the school so much now. You know, it's like the European, he cracked back. Now he's trying to get it back the way it was prior to us. Safe Negro. Negroes that believe what he believe, you know.
Yeah.
And so we're gonna talk about all of that. All right.
Okay.
All oh right my then. Goodness, Javal, Jerry Javal.
You have closing comments, Javal?
Yeah, I was just gonna say, you know, the going back to the idea of the whole Christian thing is really seeking out immortality. Nobody wants to die. And they certainly don't want to burn in the so-called purgatory hell that they invented. But it, as long as we don't part of our existence is normal and we don't need to fear it, that if we have anything to fear, it's our own ignorance or our own crimes that we've committed. You know, physically, mentally, psychologically, however, that's in your mind. Because in the end, when you transit, you go to your mind. Your mind is a mentor, the same word. I can't emphasize that enough. So each person has their own mind, their own mentor, their own personality, and they have to deal with that and find the balance, which is the The M in the word sperm, it means the seed of the male, which is active, but nobody can explain what the M is for. But the M is the balance.
You froze. Go ahead, Javal. I think he froze.
That's the way to go.
And can you repeat that, Jerry?
So we have to emphasize that to our people. And
Jerry, Jerry, you froze for about 10 seconds.
Okay.
Can you repeat that?
Please. I was going to say that I believe what attracts most of our people to, or distracts, however you put it, to Christianity is the fact that we don't have a replacement for it. And I don't think we could create a replacement for it, not here in the Americas. So when we get back to Africa, which is what we should do, once we get back, we can reestablish our old ancient belief system again and learn that, look, life, birth, death is all normal and natural. Everything that lives dies. And then once it dies, it doesn't mean that it doesn't exist. Existence continues with the personality. And that personality, in order to move on, to transit again to some other physical life, needs to find the middle, which is why the word middle leads with the letter M, the medium. They need to find that in order to rebalance. Look, a child is born into this world. They don't come here with any misconceptions. They come here innocent, clean, clear, ready to learn. You have to, in a mentor, get yourself back to that point so that you can make the transit again. And this is what we need to understand. And you know, believing in Christianity and white supremacy takes you away from that. It takes you who knows where, but it certainly doesn't bring you because it's a false narrative and the truth is everything. And once we make that transition, you only have your own mind to rely on to get you to make the transition. So immortality depends on our ability to use our minds, okay? So that's basically what I think where we've misstepped, and we need to understand that. Don't fear death. It's going to come whether you like it or not, because it's normal. And there ain't no such thing as hell. That's the European invention. They invented God and hell.
You're on mute. you froze, Jabal. We can't hear you. There you are.
I'm back.
Yeah.
Anyway, like I say, I appreciate the opportunity. I continue my work and trying to decipher all of this maze of BS that's been presented with us over these so-called white teachings. But, you know, we can figure out how to get through them and learn the truth and then pass it on. And then you pass it on to somebody else and it'll spread. And hopefully we'll get back to where we should be with our own Gnosticism. And I thank you for the opportunity.
All right. Well, listen, I'm going to give you a call because you're leaving tomorrow, right?
Yeah, I'm leaving tomorrow. I'll be down there. So you're going to do your presentation next Tuesday. Uh-huh. I'll try to call from down there. Okay. So I'll try to call.
All right, keep the number he gave you.
Okay.
We'll and the passwords and all of that.
It's in my notebook. I take that with me everywhere I go.
So. All right. Yeah. All right, we want to say we wish all of y'all blessings without numbers, all good things without end. We want to say Asante Sana for y'all coming on, which is many thanks for y'all coming on tonight. And hopefully that you'll come back next Tuesday. Wednesday, Rush P, you want to tell them about what's coming on next Wednesday?
Yes, I was sharing it on the screen here. So right here, we have this group coming on to talk about trafficking. And so it's the Shield of Valen. That's the name of the group. So it's a security company. That's next Wednesday.
All right. All right, y'all. Y'all have a good one, and we'll be in contact. Thanks a lot, Angie, Mashariki, Jinjay, Jabal.
Hey, Angie, good to see you and Jinjay again.
Mashariki,
I didn't hear from BT, Barry Thomas, but.
Well, he's right here. Barry's right here.
Yeah, we can hardly hear him.
Thank you.
All right, then. Everybody, Tutanada.
Peace.
All right.